We're going to move now to the second reading, which is from Paul's letter to the Romans. The verses we have are chapter 8, starting with verse 9 down to 13. But I want to give the context because Paul's vision about how sin is destructive and divine life imparted by the Holy Spirit is constructive. In fact, he says, if the Spirit of God lives in you, you may die, but you'll always live. Your spirit will be alive, and one day your flesh will be alive. And the difference is righteousness. And in the text he discusses that, it's not the law, it's the Spirit that gives us life. So I'm going to read a bit of Romans 8, which we don't have in our text today, to set the context. He starts off, let's take a big running jump. Chapter 5 starts a whole new section, second part. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, Jew first, then Greek. That's 1:18. That's the table of contents of the letter. So, the power of God unto salvation, that's the second part, starting with chapter 5. Chapters 1 to 4 are about salvation for those who believe. We don't have time to go into all the structure of it, but then when he gets to 5, he says, you see, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on, and he discusses Adam and Christ. In chapter 6, you know, we're dead to sin. We don't have to sin. Did you know that? We don't have to sin. If we yield to the Spirit, we don't have to sin. Now, I mean, there's room for a little bit of margin of error, but like deadly sin, never again. We don't have to do it. That's what freedom means. And so, then 7, free from the law, which is more complex to grasp. And then we're at chapter 8, which is where he has been wanting to go since he said that this gospel, the act of love in which Jesus died, which is the gospel, and rose, you see, it's the power of God. Now, finally, in chapter 8, we get there. And he says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the law, and he purposely uses this word, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed you from the law of sin and death. There are two laws. And one is not a law in one sense at all. It's the Holy Spirit, which was promised. I'm going to write my law in their heart, remember? And they're going to keep my law. And no one has to tell his brother, know the Lord. For everyone will know me from the least to the greatest, because I will remember their sins no more, and their guilt I will blot out. They'll live by my Spirit. I'll put my Spirit in them. That's the new law. So that's what he's saying here, you see. For regarding what was impossible to the law, the powerlessness of the law, that it was weakened through the flesh. See, he doesn't say the law. It's that law can't bring flesh along. It'll just mess it up. And that's his whole argument, his whole theme. The law is good and holy and perfect, but we're not. We need a transforming principle. And the transforming principle was prophesied by Jeremiah and Ezekiel after him about this Holy Spirit dwelling in us. That's the new law. St. Thomas says so. I mean, that in so many words, you know, the new law is the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying here. So, you see, it was weakened by the flesh. We can't keep the darn law without the Holy Spirit. You see? So how did God solve it? God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and in order to deal with sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You know, they say about St. Jerome, living in his cave in Bethlehem and working on this, he'd pick up the manuscript and he'd throw it across the cave and say, Paul, you don't want to be understood. But he does. You see, he's saying here, you see, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and in order to deal with sin, periautomatias, which is a sacrifice, one of the sacrifices is periautomatias, condemned sin in the flesh. In the death of Christ, in that flesh which was killed by sin, sin died. And we can die to sin. So that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh. Let's go slowly here. You see, he says here now, the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled. What does that mean? If you're graduating from college, they say you have fulfilled all the requirements, here's your diploma. That's not what Paul means. Fulfill there means meet the requirements. For Paul, it means go right beyond them. Fill full. Suppose we're at a party. We're at a dinner party. And there's nothing on the table to drink. And I say, I'll go get something. You expect me to come back with water. And I come back with a tray full of glasses of beautiful red wine. I haven't met your expectations. I have fulfilled them. I've filled them full. Way beyond what was required. That's what it means to say fulfill. Jesus fulfills the law and the prophets, and we fulfill the law. You see, the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. To explain what Paul means by walking according to the flesh would distract us a bit from where we have to go, so I'm just going to move on for now. For those who are in the flesh, you see, and according to the flesh, they think all the time about the things of the flesh. Those who are living according to the Spirit, they think about the things of the Spirit. It goes on like that. And then he picks up in our text for today. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You have, as he says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now let's stop and think. When was the last time I was aware of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, moving in me? This, my friends, is the great impoverishment of our Christian situation, Catholic situation today. We don't know the Holy Spirit. We're not moved by Him, rejoicing in that movement, avoiding sin so that we can yield to Him. The Holy Spirit is a factor. We'll hear this text on this 14th Sunday. We'll say, yes, that's very fine. But it won't mean a darn thing unless we turn from sin and embrace it. And then we have the Holy Spirit alive in us. As John says, He was in you is greater than He was in the world. It's that thrill that I have a power within me to which I can yield, which is a pure gift, and it's a gift of love. And so, you see, you are not in the flesh. You know, as he uses these words, in flesh, in spirit, he means dominated by one or the other. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, and now we're in our anthropology of Paul for this reading we have. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that one does not belong to him. If, however, Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, your Spirit, is alive, is life, because of righteousness, because of justice. So, if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will give life to your death-directed bodies because of his indwelling Spirit in you. That's a promise. If you live aware of the Holy Spirit, trying to be aware, yielding, trying to obey, and having the thrill of knowing that the Spirit of God who loves you only wants your good in a way that we can never even imagine. He's moving in you. Now, I think I gave this example before, but imagine like at baseball practice, somebody, you know, the coach is out there and he hits out grounders. You know, he keeps hitting them out, and you feel them, a bunch of you out there. Well, Jesus does that every day. He hits out about 100 grounders to us. We see about 40 of them. Well, the other 60 go by, we don't even notice them. Of the 40 that we see, we feel about 12. We could do better. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to see them coming and to feel them. Listen to the inspirations of the Lord. Huh? Now, so your spirit is life because of justice. Now he moves on. So if the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will also give life to your mortal, or thanaton, athenatos, death-directed bodies. It's no surprise that my body's going to die. I know that. What I don't know well is that deeper than the death is life. This body will not be held in death. It will rise. Because the Spirit of God is in it now. Because of his indwelling Spirit in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, so as to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. If, however, by the Spirit you put to death the activities of the body, you will live. Now, why does he say the activities of the body? All along, he's been talking about the flesh. The body, in a way, is neutral, but the flesh, see, the flesh is that deep interior drive towards self-aggrandizement, self-protection, self-promotion, self. He overlooked me, I hate him. That's flesh. So he overlooked you. Jesus didn't overlook you. So what's the problem? You see? Or he cut me off. Or she did something. That's flesh. You see, we have a word in English, egomania. It's sort of there. This drive towards self-preservation, self-aggrandizement, self-realization. There's a whole magazine, I saw it in the barbershop once, called Self. Woo! Paul would flip if he saw that. It's not we're about self. We're about God. And if we're about God, our self blossoms. And we're a happy person. So that's what he's saying here, you see. So if by the Spirit you put to death the activities of the body, that's pretty tough because they're deep and they come from our upbringing and everything else. But he's saying if you do that, you will live not only here, but hereafter. Now that's Paul's message. You can understand how you could hook it in, since one of the greatest drives of the flesh is pride, self-assertion, self-aggrandizement, that's sarx. But the first reason reading shows us and the gospel is that Jesus doesn't have any flesh in that sense. To imitate Jesus means to get over egomania, which we don't do easily. I mean, we're not going to clobber everybody who's because it's not polite, but we carry them. And they eat us alive. And that's what this text is telling you. You keep it up, it'll bring you to death for good. Give your life to the Spirit of Jesus, and you'll live forever. End of story.